Bibles and go to Psalm 143. Psalm 143, I want to read one verse out of Psalm 143. Then we'll be in Psalm 119, we'll be in Hosea, we'll be in 1 Peter, we'll be in Corinthians, we'll be in Psalms, we're going to be all over the place. But starting with Psalm 143 and verse number 11. Actually, let's back up. Back up verse number 4, verses 4 through 11. So Psalm chapter 143, verses 4 through 11. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the evening that you've given us. And thank you, Father, for just allowing us to be gathered together. Thank you, Father, for your word that is, Lord, it is sure. Father, we don't have to doubt about your word. We don't have to wonder. Is your word going to help us? Is it going to be the guide that you said it would be? Is it going to comfort us? Is it going to point us in the right direction? We know, Father, it is, because your word never fails. Father, I ask that you would guide us tonight according to your will, speaking to each of our hearts. Father, you know what each of your people need, the ones in the sanctuary, the ones watching live stream, the ones, Father, who may watch the service at some later time. Father, you know what each person needs, and I thank you, Father, that you are not you're not restrained to a certain moment. Your word is quick and powerful, and it reaches, Father, around this globe, and it reaches into the hearts of people, and I pray that you would, Lord, bless it, allow it to do what it intended to do, because you said it would not return void. We thank you for it. Father, we ask that everything would bring honor and glory to you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Verse number 11 says, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Tonight I want to talk to us about having a quickened life. And reminding us of that word quicken, which means to give life, to revive life, and to preserve life. Every day of our life, we need to have a revival. A revival is not something that comes once a year, doesn't come once a generation, but something that is to happen every day in the life of a Christian. Because every day we find ourselves in different situations, surrounded by different troubles. We find our hearts overwhelmed. We find our thoughts are sometimes confused, and God's not the author of confusion. But as the psalmist says, quicken me, O Lord, because only God can do the quickening in our lives. Only God can revive us, and only God can preserve our life. And there's many ways that God does it. And we're going to look at some different ways tonight. It really should be the heart of every Christian is to have a quickened life, to have a revived life every day. Again, knowing that maybe even today you had some overwhelming things happen in your life, or at some point this week you had some overwhelming things. And that's just the way life is. I wish life was different. I wish life was a bed of roses. I wish everything worked out. I just wish that life was perfect, but then if it was, we would never see the power of God. We would never see the faithfulness of God, because everything would be perfect and we would have no reason to call upon the name of the Lord. We'd have no reason to trust in him. But notice as David says here, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Now, David is known as a man after God's own heart. And if you're like David, you love the Lord. You have a heart's desire to follow the Lord, to trust the Lord, to see God do great and mighty things in your life, and just want to spend time with the Lord. And you just, you know, you want to always have a right heart with the Lord and not be distracted by the cares of the world. But life is, as David says, bring my soul out of trouble. There are just times in our life where we are troubled, but we don't have to stay troubled. There's nothing wrong with being troubled, but the problem is when we stay in the midst of that trouble, when we allow that trouble to control us and to control our thoughts and control our actions. We have to turn back to the Lord. We have to allow the Lord to do great and mighty things in our life. The first thing I want you to think about is we think about the quickened life, the life that is to be revived each day, the life that will be preserved by the Lord. Obviously, it always starts with the Word of God, because the Word of God is the number one thing that we as God's people need to feast on. Because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Go back, if you would, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. This one concept, this one truth will probably be reiterated in every message that God allows me to preach here. Because the Word of God is exactly what every single person needs. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God reminds us of the faithfulness of God, reminds us of the power of God, reminds us of the victory that we have in Christ. But it also reminds us that there'll be trouble in life. Life is full of trouble, but we have someone to walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. One that we can trust, one that we can follow, one that we know is going to lead us in the right way. In Psalm 119, look at verse 107 as we think about being quickened by God's word. And this is a daily matter, being quickened, being revived by God's word daily. The psalmist says in verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Somebody once said, the neglect of God's word is the surest way to destroy revival in your life. The neglect of God's word is the surest way to destroy revival in your life. Just as much as the trees, the flowers, the grass need water. They need water, they need sun to be able to, the light of the sun to be able to grow and to be fruitful. We as God's people need the Word of God. We need the water of the Word. We need the light of the Word. The neglect of God's Word is the surest way to destroy revival in your life, because every day we're being attacked on all sides. Every day the devil is looking for a way to attack us. He didn't give up when he was attacking our Lord and Savior in the wilderness. As I was thinking about this again today, he comes at him in a very weak moment. The flesh is hungry. The Bible says that the Lord was hungry. I mean, it has been 40 days, and now, you know, he's coming out of the wilderness. He's hungry, but yet the devil sits there and tempts him to do something of his own power out of the will of God. And he says, no, it is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. So, you know, the Lord gives us that example that it's the Word of God that helps us, defends us from the devil's tactics. But what do we see the devil doing? He doesn't stop. He finds another angle. He's always trying to find a different angle. If we block him on one angle, well, he's looking for another angle. And that's exactly what he did. Because what I really want us to understand is, God knows the struggles that we have in life. And God knows that we will continue to have struggles until we see our Lord and Savior face to face, and we put off this mortality and put on immortality, when we become just like our Lord and Savior, and we have our new bodies, and we're no longer in the spiritual battle that we're currently in. We're looking forward to that day. But we've got to every day remind ourselves, encourage ourselves, you know what? The Lord knows that I'm in this flesh, that there are struggles, there's battles, but he's given us a way of escape. He's given us things through his word that will help us. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Why do you think the devil fights so hard against the word of God? Because it's the number one thing that will help God's people. It's the number one thing that would have kept Adam and Eve from sinning against God. They both knew they were not supposed to eat of the forbidden fruit. But when the devil came along and twisted God's word and questioned it and helped them to question God's word, well, they sinned against God. And from that moment on, we as God's people, we as humans, and eventually when you become a child of the King, there's still that temptation to question God's word. It's still that temptation to even wonder, does God's word help? But God tells us that his word helps. In Psalm 119, verse 25, the psalmist says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." It's God's word that gives life. It's God's word that gives stability and strength. As Ezekiel was told by the Lord to go out into the valley and to preach to the dry bones. You remember that account in Scripture? Ezekiel is told by the Lord, Ezekiel is asked a question, can these dry bones live? And he said, well, thou knowest, Lord, right? The Lord knows. But looking through human eyes, you're looking at dry skeletons going, there's no way those dry bones can live again. But what the Lord told Ezekiel to do was to preach the word that the Lord would give him to preach. And you look at that account, Ezekiel went out there and just said, thus saith the Lord, and started preaching the word that God gave him. And we see a glimpse into the power of God's word as those bones come back together and as the flesh comes upon those bones and as Ezekiel sees those dry bones take form again and take on flesh and life is given back into those bodies and they become living souls again. It is the word of God that's quick and powerful. It is the word of God that you and I need each and every day, and it is what will help us to be quickened. It'll help us to be revived again, because every single day of our life, any given day, can be a hard day that just weighs upon you. You fall into the bed at night, and you just thank the Lord the day is over, and you're hoping for a better day at different times. But when you take the word of God, and you drink it, and you let it soak in, and you meditate upon it, it really does help. It helps us to get our focus back on the Lord. It helps us to be reminded that I have victory in Christ, that I don't have to allow myself to feel defeated. Have you ever felt defeated in your life? You ever felt like, you know, you were at the end of your rope? You felt like you just, you know what, I don't know what to do. I can't go on anymore. And yet you heard a word behind you because God's voice is a still, soft voice, saying this is the way, walk ye in it, trying to encourage you in some verse that maybe you had been thinking about throughout the day, a verse that you read maybe earlier in the day. Because the devil doesn't care if we read our Bibles. He just wants to get us not to understand and think about what we're reading. He doesn't want the word of God to take root in our hearts and to guide us throughout the day. So being quickened by God's word will help us to have a quickened daily life. Number two, quickened in God's way. I want you to look at verse 37, Psalm 119 and verse 37. And the reason why I started with being quickened by God's word, because it is the number one thing that's often questioned. Do I really need the word of God? And we may read some scripture and think, well, that's good, but that doesn't really help me. That's not really, you know, what I need. Well, we have to submit ourselves to God's way. Every single child of God has to submit themselves to God's way in order to be quickened, in order to be revived again, in order to be refreshed. In verse 37 of Psalm 119, the Bible says, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." Quicken me in thy way. Honestly, it's either God's way or it's our way. Now, sometimes we think we have the better way, but God's way is always perfect. God's way always has blessings with it. God's way will never lead us astray. Again, the psalmist says, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." In thy way. Go to Philippians chapter 1, if you would. Philippians chapter 1. And I want you to think about this. Talking about being revived daily in our spirit and in our life. Knowing, again, that we face trials. We face times where we feel overwhelmed. We feel like we're stretched beyond measure. Yet if we will believe the truths that are in God's word and believe in God's way, that God has the perfect way, then we will continue to be successful in our life. We will continue to be faithful in following the Lord, even though there are days where we, in our flesh, we feel like giving up. Yet when we give in to the Lord helps us to continue pressing on. But we have to allow ourselves to submit to God's way. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, he starts off and says, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Paul says, "For me to live is Christ." My whole life is about Christ. Every decision I make is about Christ. And he says, "And to die is gain," because obviously when we pass from this life to the next as a child of God, we have an abundance of blessings waiting for us. We have an abundance of life waiting for us, but on this side of heaven, we can experience the life in Christ. If we want to be alive in Christ, we must choose God's way every day. We have to neglect our way. When our way does not match up with God's way, we have to cast our thinking aside, cast our way aside, and submit to God's way. Because if we really want to be strengthened in our spirit, if we really want to be guided by the Lord, if we really want our spirit to be refreshed when we, again, when we are just out of strength, we're pressed out of measure, then we have to admit that, you know what, God's way is the right way, and God's way is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. When you look at, keep a finger in Philippians 1, verse 21, but then go to chapter 2 and verse 21. Because this is what we do. As God's people, we have to choose. Is it going to be God's way in order to be quickened in my life, to be revived, to be refreshed? Or am I going to choose my way, which will not bear out the spiritual needs that I have and need? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, Paul says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." So in chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "For me to live is Christ." My life has to be about Christ, because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The Lord said, "I have victory in him," or I can choose to do it my own way, which is against Christ, which my way, if I do it my way, I'm going to have more heartache. I'm going to have more stress. I'm going to have more, you know, I'm going to find myself at the end of my rope more often than when the Lord is walking with me and I'm walking with him. Again, you think all throughout Scripture, you just have examples of different people that would choose their own way. I think about King Saul. King Saul being chosen by God. He's a child of God. He's a child of Israel. He is one of God's people. He's chosen to be the first king. He starts off kind of right, but then he slowly finds himself thinking his way is better. When the prophet Samuel would come to him and tell him to do something, he never would do it wholeheartedly. He never would do it completely. And then when he was questioned about it, he would always blame somebody else. But the tragedy in Saul's life is that we find where God takes his spirit away from him. And we find that for the rest of Saul's life, until the day he dies, he has no inner peace. He has no peace, no joy whatsoever. In fact, he starts eyeing up David, who has peace, who has joy, who has trust in the Lord, and he starts hating David because of David's relationship with the Lord. And at the end of King Saul's life, he's hunting for a witch to find out what's going to happen to him, because God's not speaking to him. That's really the choice that every child of God has. God's way, which if we choose God's way, then God will walk with us and we'll have the joy of the Lord, we'll have the peace of Christ in our life. But if we choose our way, we can't expect God to walk with us. We can't expect God to bless us. We can't expect God to help us if we choose our way instead of his way. Choosing God's way is a way of freedom and peace. There's freedom and peace doing it God's way. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 28 through 30 as we look at the words of Christ. Every child of God has this decision every day. If I want to be revived in my spirit, then I have to, number one, let the Word of God be number one in my life, be the most important thing in my life. And number two, I have to choose God's way. I have to let God have his way with me. Because when I do, then I will find freedom and peace in my life. Doesn't mean trials and troubles won't come, but we'll be walking with the one who will lead us through the troubles and trials, the one that will allow us to have the joy, the peace that we need in the midst of the storm. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." First thing I want you to think about, just in those words, if you ever find yourself doing it your way, and obviously like Paul, Jesus told Paul, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." When Jesus came to Paul on the road to Damascus, Paul was in turmoil on the inside. He had no rest on the inside. He was lashing out on all the Christians. He was hauling them to jail. I mean, he thought he was doing God's service, but he was being eaten up on the inside because of his own sinfulness, because of his own guilt, because he was fighting against God. And Jesus says, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks," meaning you're butting up against a brick wall. I mean, things aren't going easy for you because you're not on the Lord's side. But obviously, when Paul's life got turned around, things got turned around. He really had freedom in his life. He had true peace in his life when he started walking with the Lord instead of contrary. And the Lord says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If we find ourselves in that position of where we're in turmoil, we have no inner peace, we have no inner rest, and the Lord is speaking to our heart, telling us, you know, we're going in the wrong direction. We're not going in his direction. I'm glad that he is merciful and gracious, that when we do turn to him and say, "Lord, I'm sorry, I was going against you. I was trying to do it in my own strength. But Lord, I admit I'm wrong. I want to do it your way." I'm glad the Lord says, "Okay, let's walk. Come walk with me." And his yoke is easy. Notice the next verse, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." That's what every person needs, is rest unto the soul. Now, I love getting my sleep at night. I love getting, you know, waking up in the morning and physically feeling refreshed, and which isn't often. Only getting, you know, between 4 and 5 hours of sleep a night, but still getting that rest, you know, when you have some good sleep, and you wake up feeling refreshed, that's great. But, you know, you can physically feel refreshed, but on the inside, you're still just as tired. You're still just as wore out. But when you choose to walk with the Lord, when you choose to let God guide your way, then you do find that inner peace. You find that inner rest in your soul. Jesus says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God's yoke is easy and his burden is light. When we do it God's way, we truly do find freedom and peace. In Proverbs 13, verse 15, the Bible says, "Good understanding giveth favor." Good understanding giveth favor. The second part says, "But the way of transgressors is hard." Transgressor is someone that is going against the way of the Lord, someone who's going against what's true. And if you have lived any length of time, I mean, I can think of all the times, most of the times in my life that I've gone against God's way, and it's been hard. Sometimes we make things more difficult for ourselves than what they really need to be. When we will just, if we will just submit to the way of the Lord, allow His word to truly be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path, we do find freedom and peace on the inside. I want you to go back and look at verse 40, Psalm 119 and verse 40. Excuse me, as we think about the third thing that can help us, talking about a quickened life, each day having our life revived. Revived so we can walk with the Lord. Revived so we can have the right outlook on life, so we can have the wisdom, the discernment that we need from the Lord and face another day. Because, you know, we can't change yesterday. We can't go back and fix yesterday if we didn't do something right. But each day is a new day. Each day is a gift from the Lord to choose to walk with the Lord, to choose to let God have His way with us, to be able to see the great things that God wants to do in our life each and every day. I mean, I've said it before, I'll continue to say it, but God's given us a life to enjoy, a life to enjoy. You know what? Being a Christian is not grievous. Following the Lord is really, it's not grievous. It's not a set of rules that, well, we can't do this, can't do that. Truly, when you walk with the Lord and you have your eyes set on the Lord and your heart fixed on the Lord, you come to find out that it truly is not grievous. What's grievous is walking contrary to the Lord, not following the ways of the Lord. Again, just as Jesus said, and I'm reiterating back what Jesus said in Matthew 11, He says, "Come unto Me." He calls us daily to come unto Him. If we've been laboring, if we're heavy laden, if we have unsettledness in our hearts, if we are just burdened, if we're pressed out of measure, if we have exhausted ourselves because we did not follow the Lord the day before, praise the Lord, He gives a new day to do it right. He gives us another opportunity to choose to take His yoke upon us and to walk with Him. But in verse number 40 of Psalm 119, the Bible says, "Behold, I have longed after Thy precepts," or Thy word, Thy commandments. "Quicken me in Thy righteousness." Quicken me in Thy righteousness. So this third thing I want you to think about is being quickened in God's righteousness. And what is righteousness? It's everything that's right. Everything that God wants to do in our life is right. Even if it's stretching our faith, even if it's causing us to really come out of our comfort zone, to really allow God to have our life where we've been in control. If you're like me, you've been in control of your life at times and you find that it was a lot harder than it should have been. God says, "Rely on Me." He says, "Behold, I've longed after Thy precepts. Quicken me in Thy righteousness. Help me to do what's right." This is what I want you to think about, because to be quickened is to be revived. It's to be preserved. It is to give life. And what is it the devil wants to take from every single person? Their life. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy." And how does he do that? He gets into our minds. How did he destroy the relationship between Adam and Eve with God? By getting into her mind and causing her to think that she'd be better off eating the fruit that God said not to. And when God said, "The day you eat the fruit, you're going to die," they didn't physically die, but they spiritually died. They were spiritually separated from God. They had a wonderful relationship with God, a wonderful walk with God. But when they chose to do it their way, they were separated from a righteous God. And obviously that's why the Lord sent Jesus Christ to restore that relationship. And you and I are the benefactors of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. He paying the sin, paying that price for our sin. When you think about the fact that every day the devil's working hard to get purity. There's a war on purity, on righteousness. Because you know what? In a lot of people's minds, the Bible talks about, I believe it's in Ephesians, about the strongholds that need to be pulled down. The strongholds in people's lives that really have them in bondage, have them they're being strangled in their life by sin. And the Lord says that he wants to quicken us in his righteousness. Again, the writer says, "Behold, I've longed after thy precepts, quicken me in thy righteousness." I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Again, the devil's going to fight against you and you reading your Bible. He's going to fight against you and you following God's way because, number three, we look at these verses because he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy me. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He doesn't want God's people to walk in righteousness. Now, praise the Lord, we are robed with the righteousness of Christ, right? But he doesn't want us to walk in righteousness. The Bible says, "Walk in the Spirit so that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh." The devil wants to get us off track. The devil wants to get our minds tainted. He wants our life to be so corrupt that we can't walk in the ways of the Lord. We can't follow God's word. We won't allow God's word to affect us. Again, like I said before, the devil's okay if you read your Bible as long as it doesn't affect you. Remember, Jesus gave us that example of the heart and his word. Talking about the sower went forth and sowed and talked about the different grounds that the seed fell upon, the hard ground, the stony ground, the thorny ground. And Jesus said, you know, when the seed of his word is sown on stony ground, I mean, it's like, you know, the seed's just bouncing off. I mean, the devil's just stealing it. The thorny ground where the seed, you know, takes root, but then the thorns choke it out. Again, the devil wants to choke out the word of God. He wants to literally choke your life. Again, he can't take your salvation. But if we allow him to, he can choke our life out. Many Christians have been destroyed because they thought they could walk in their own ways and be okay. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 2 with me. So God warns us in 1 Peter to be sober, be vigilant, to have this mind in you, have the mind of Christ that we have an adversary that does want to destroy us. Now you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. You can't lose your salvation. You have victory in Christ. But that's why it's important we choose to walk in the ways of God every day and not our own ways, because the devil will lead us down a path of destruction if we choose to follow our own path, our own way. In 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 15. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Now listen, God's given us this world. He's given us wonderful things to enjoy in this world, but we cannot love the things of this world above our love for God. Again, many will give their life for all kinds of things in this world. Many will sell their soul to the devil for fame, for fortune. But God tells us as his people, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," notice this is, he's going to list them. And these, when we read these things, "For all that is in the world," what's coming next, this is exactly what the devil tempted Jesus with in the wilderness. These things encompass everything. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." If we want to have a life that's quickened, if we want to have a life that's blessed, if we want to have a life that really has God in it, and we have the presence of the Lord, and we have the joy of the Lord, we have the peace of God in our life, then we can't allow the things of the world to take our affection. Again, He said, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. My heart's desire cannot be for the things of this world, because there are things in this world that will corrupt me spiritually and corrupt me physically and destroy us physically and spiritually. And the devil knows it. That's why, again, the Word of God has to be number one in our life. That's why we have to every day submit our way to the Lord and say, Lord, guide me. Lord, lead me. Lead me in the way that you want me to walk. Help me today, Lord, to walk with you. You know what? We have to be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm prone to wander. Lord, I'm prone to kind of do what I want to do. I'm prone to think my way is best. But Lord, I've learned that your way is the best. Your way has blessings. And Lord, I know, because your word tells me, that I have an adversary who wants to destroy me. He wants me to allow things in my life that will spiritually destroy me and eventually physically destroy me. Being quickened by God's righteousness. God wants us to live and walk in righteousness. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And someone might think, well, you know, I know what you're saying is true, Pastor, and I know that God will help me, but it's so hard. It's so hard to do what's right. It's so hard to make myself walk with the Lord every day. I do for a while, then I fall again. I just continue to fall in this sin, in this bad habit. Listen. Again, God remembers our frame is but dust. God knows the struggles that every person has. But every person doesn't have to live in those struggles and remain in those struggles. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Again, reminding us, as the devil will try to lie and say, yeah, you're the only one with this problem. So you know what? You don't need to tell anybody. You don't need to talk to the Lord. You've fallen in this trap. You've fallen in this sin. You keep committing this bad habit. But the next part is the most wonderful part that the devil doesn't want people to know or to be reminded of. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but. What a wonderful word that is, but. Because what comes after it is wonderful. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. God makes a way to escape the temptation the devil brings into our life. Again, Jesus gives us the great example in the wilderness when he speaks, thus saith the Lord. It is written. God's word is number one. If God's word is hidden in our hearts, then we won't sin against God. The Bible tells us, hide God's word in your heart that I might not sin against him. That's every day allowing God's word to be the number one thing in our life. Because it's the number one thing the devil fights against. It's the number one thing. And if we think it's not good enough, then we're following our own way instead of God's way. Because God says, hide my word in your heart. Again, he says, but God is faithful. How many of you believe that God is faithful? How many of you have even experienced the faithfulness of God in your life? Every one of us have. We have experienced the faithfulness of God. God is faithful in his grace, in his mercy, in his love. He is faithful in helping us in time of need, allowing us to have the boldness to come into the throne room of grace and ask the Lord, Lord, I can't do it of myself. I don't have the strength, but Lord, I know you can. You know what? When we admit our faults, our failures, our weaknesses to the Lord, that's when the Lord smiles down on us and says, now I can help you. When we admit that we need God's help, that is when God is able to help us, because he never forces himself upon us. He wants us to look to him, to trust him, to call on him. In Psalm 34, verse 7, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. What a wonderful truth that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. In Psalm 119, verse 11, I mentioned this earlier, but the Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Again, it's God's word that will direct us in God's way. Last thing I want you to think about, look, go with me to Psalm 119 and verse 88. Psalm 119 and verse 88. As we think about just the truths that God quickens us through his word, God will quicken us when we walk in his way. God will quicken us in his righteousness if we will choose his way and not our way. Again, before I even read Psalm 119, verse 88, there are things in our lives, currently things in our lives right now that hinders the word of God, hinders God from working in our life. What is it that hindered people from being healed in Nazareth when Jesus was walking on this earth? And he was fulfilling his ministry. He was healing the blind, healing the lame, cleansing the leper, giving life to the dead, casting out demons. I mean, he was changing lives. When it came to Nazareth, the Bible says he could only help a few people, just a few folks, because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. If we will believe that God can, he will. You see, the devil doesn't want us to believe that God can. The devil wants us to constantly think about all our failures instead of the victory that we have in Christ. I have freedom in Christ. I have a new life in Christ. I have strength in Christ. And again, there are things that are in our life right now that are hindering God from helping us. Because we're not fully trusting him. We have not fully given ourselves to the Lord. We haven't said, Lord, here am I. Have your way with me, Lord. Because guess what? God already knows us. He already knows our struggles. He already knows what we're battling. And if we will admit it to the Lord, Lord, this is my struggle. You already know it, but I want to admit it out loud. Because listen, when you go... Do this with me. Keep a finger in Psalm 119, verse 88. We've got a few more minutes. Let's go back to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Written by David, King David. Again, we know he's a man after God's own heart. God chose him to be the next king even when he wasn't old enough. God sent Samuel to anoint him to be the next king. He was a shepherd boy and I mean, it's many, many years later before he sits on the throne of Israel. But when he becomes king, I mean, again, he's still trusting the Lord. I mean, everyone knows, I mean, God blesses the kingdom because of him. God blesses everything David does. But one day, David gets a little lazy. Gets a little lazy. And the Bible says that when the time was that the kings were to go out and fight, David stayed home. I mean, he had a great army. He had valiant men who fought for him, and you know he sent his men to the battles to fight, and he stayed home. Well, it cost him because he got lazy. He didn't guard himself, and the devil was right there to put a temptation in front of him, and he saw the temptation, and he allowed the temptation to take his heart. And again, he committed adultery. And then to hide that adulterous affair, to hide the sin, well, he committed more sin by having somebody killed. A man after God's own heart let his guard down. And when he let the guard down, the devil came right in. And you know what? We find that David was miserable after that. He was miserable because God stopped talking. The Spirit of God had kind of backed away from him. He had no peace, no joy. It wasn't like it was before. But because of God's grace, because of God's mercy, he sent the prophet Nathan to him. And the prophet came to him, gave him a story of a rich man who stole a poor man's lamb. And David got real angry about that. David being a shepherd and David knowing, you know, how precious and valuable, you know, sheep are and how a shepherd protects and all that. And he says, who's the man? I'm going to kill him. And you know the account. The prophet points the finger at David and says, thou art the man. You're the one that sinned against God. See, David was trying to not admit his fault and not confess his fault, but because God loved him so much, God allowed him to have that pressure upon him to where he finally broke. And he admitted his failure. He admitted his sin. He admitted what he had done. He admitted that he had sinned against God. But David, being a man after God's own heart, in Psalm 51, David writes, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. David was still a child of God. He was still a child of the king. And he made a mistake. And here David is in Psalm 51, he's admitting what he did. He's admitting it, but he's also admitting that, you know what, Lord, I need you more than anything else in this world. In verse 2, he says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, because only God can cleanse us from our sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Go on, I believe it's in, let's see here. Verse number 10 of Psalm 51, David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Again, David gets to a place where he breaks, he admits what he did, and he begs God, don't take your spirit from me. Don't take your presence from me. You know what? God didn't. It's the wonderful truth about God that when we admit our faults to the Lord, he forgives us, he cleanses us, he restores our right relationship with the Lord, and then we have that peace and joy of the Lord again. But I want you to notice, because in Psalm 119, verse 88, this is what we're talking about when we read in a second. But in verse 51, Psalm 51, he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Do you know how much God loves you? More than you'll ever know, and more than I'll ever know. Now, we know his love was manifested at the cross of Calvary. We know that Jesus laid down his life because of his love for us. But we truly don't know the depths of God's love, but we experience his loving kindness. In Psalm 119 and verse 88, last thing I want you to think about in being quickened every day in your life. Again, the psalmist says, quicken me after thy loving kindness. Revive me. Preserve me according to thy loving kindness. It's exactly what God did in David's life. Because you know what? God knows our frame. He knows the mistakes that we make in life. He knows the mistakes that we will make. But God's loving kindness, we can rely on and we can fall upon, knowing that God loves us. And when we admit our faults and failures, God will restore us. God will help us. God will help us to get back on the right track. He says, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. In Psalm 119, verse 159, the psalmist says, consider how I love thy precepts or thy word. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Again, reminding ourselves that God loves us so much that every day God wants to restore us. Every day God wants to do great and mighty things in our life. God wants us to have a revived life. God doesn't want us to live in misery. He doesn't want us to live in the past. He wants us to live in the presence with him. He wants us to walk in the joy of the Lord. In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know what? Every day God's drawing us. Every day we wake up, God draws us to him. But we have to make that conscious decision to walk in his way, to take his word, to rely on him, to trust him. Every day God's drawing us. Every day God's saying, walk with me. Walk in this way. I mean, there's that soft, still voice, but if we neglect it, if we neglect God's way, if we neglect the voice that's calling us, obviously the Holy Spirit will be quenched. His voice will go silent. And we will experience what David experienced, and you might have already experienced things like that in your life where, you know what, you felt as though God had left you because he wasn't talking. You didn't feel the joy of the Lord in your life. Don't allow the devil to have his way with you. Don't allow the devil to have, any part of your life. Let the Lord have it all. And again, that's every day waking up saying, Lord, here am I. Lord, I want to walk in your way. Lord, I want your word to guide me. Lord, I want you to help me to walk in righteousness. I want to have the joy of the Lord every day, and I want to have the wisdom of God, and I want to be revived by your Spirit every day. I want you to do this with me. Go to Isaiah. Two more places. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6. In case for some reason we might even doubt the love of God. Well, I don't know. I don't see how God can love me. I'm always messing up. Well, that's the one thing. That's a wonderful day about waking up every morning. It's God giving us another chance to do right, to walk with him, to choose his way, to put him first. But you know what? He's already shown us. He's given us the proof of his loving kindness. In Isaiah 53, you look at verse 5 and 6. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The proof of God's loving kindness is the fact that he took our iniquity upon him. Every sin that we have committed and will commit has been placed upon Jesus Christ. So when we wake up every morning and we're reminded of the goodness of God, the loving kindness of God, we're reminded of his sacrifice for us. We're reminded that, you know what? He knew what he was getting when he got me. He knew exactly what he was getting, and he still died for me. He still wants me. He still wants to be active in my life. He still wants to help me. He still wants to walk with me. He still talks with me because the devil's a liar. The devil says God doesn't love you. God's not going to forgive you. God's not going to help you. But yet, God has proven his love. He's proven his love like no one else has proven it. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Just the last thought this evening is, because of what Christ did for us, he deserves for us to choose his way every day. He deserves for us to walk in his way. He deserves for us to say, Lord, here am I. Have your way with me. And if you're like me, you've never experienced God do you wrong. In fact, every time that you have allowed God to work in your life and to do things in your life, you've been amazed. You've been amazed beyond measure, and you have been like, wow, God is so good to me, and God is so wonderful to me. And that's exactly what the devil doesn't want us to have. He doesn't want us to experience the goodness of God every day. He wants us to live in misery. He wants us to walk in shame, to walk in heaviness, to be crushed by the burdens of life. But God says if we'll follow these principles, if we will allow God, if we'll say, Lord, quicken me according to your way. Lord, quicken me through your word. Lord, quicken me by your righteousness. Lord, cleanse my mind, cleanse my heart. Lord, I only want to be affected by you, not by the things of this world. Because if we allow, again, if we allow our love to be of the things of this world, and we allow our minds and hearts to be corrupted, then we won't experience the goodness of God. We won't experience the peace of God. We won't experience God's faithfulness because we won't see it. But God is so good to us. He is so faithful to us each and every day. And God, I'm telling you, if you have spiritual eyes, you can just see his arms stretched out. You can see his hands stretched out saying, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. And that rest is unto our soul. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for